بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، my brothers and sisters, we are on the topic of lessons from the Seerah. Seerah is the answer, and we were talking about the issue of earning, the issue of business, and the Islamic principles of business. And I was telling you how Rasulullah ﷺ proposed ways of doing business which today are the norm. But if you think about, you actually, from our perspective, that is in India, you don't have to go back 1400 years to imagine this. Just a few years ago, it was common to see signs in shops saying goods once purchased will not be taken back or cannot be returned, and all of this kind of thing. Today it is not there. Today it is not there, and especially in the international chains, taking something and returning it is absolutely normal. I mean, people do that literally on a daily basis, and no questions asked. And I narrated for you a hadith where Rasulullah mentioned this, and he praised this in terms of the dealings between a customer and the person who is selling that product or service. Now, if you, as I said, if you reflect on all of this, Rasulullah advised these things in the 7th century, when obviously none of this was common business practice. And he said that the reason to do that is not to make more profit or for customer loyalty, but to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and because it promotes a healthier and happier society. More business and customer loyalty are the fringe benefits of this way of doing business, not the reason a Muslim does it. The two basic principles of Islam are to earn halal and to spend halal. And both of these are required. It is not one at the expense of the other. One does not justify the other. So this is also one of the questions from the questions on the Day of Judgment, which a person is compelled to answer, as Rasulullah ﷺ told us in the hadith. Islam placed a huge importance on economic activity because it is such an important part of our lives. In the hadith narrated by Ibn Masud radiallahu anhu, who quoted Rasulullah, who is reported to have said, the meaning of which is, the feet of the son of Adam alayhi salam shall not move from before his Rabb on the Day of Judgment until he is asked about 5 things: about his life and what he did with it, which means our time; about his youth and what he wore it out in, meaning what did he spend his youth in, what did he get tired during his youth doing. So what was his activity during his youth; about his wealth and how he earned it and how he spent it, and what he did with what he knew, meaning his knowledge. So these are the 5 questions that we will be compelled to answer. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that the feet of the son of Adam will not move on the Day of Judgment until he answers or she answers these 5 questions: what we did with our time, what we did with our youth, how we earned our wealth, where we spent our wealth, and the final one is, what did we do with knowledge. Economic activity is what builds or destroys societies. Interest-based banking is the backbone of it, today's economy, and it's the most destructive element. It creates an exploitative culture, drives wealth disparity, enforces poverty, and makes a few people, the bankers, very wealthy at the expense of the rest of us. It was prohibited in every major religion, yet it thrives. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in Surah Al-Baqarah, the ayat which all of us know, I remind myself and you, that the Quran, the Kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, did not come to be simply recited and to be recited in Salah or outside of Salah. It didn't come for us to listen to it in Taraweeh in Ramadan. It did not come for us to read it or to listen to it purely for the sake of Sawab. It came for us to understand it and to practice it. And if we don't do that, then not only will the Kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not only will the Kalam become a witness against us, but Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself will be the witness against us. As we know from the ayat of Surah Al-Furqan, where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the Rasul will say that, O Allah, these people have thrown the Quran behind their backs. Thrown the Quran behind their backs does not mean to physically doing that. No Muslim will do it. It means to turn your back to the orders that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent. It's not a simple matter. It's not a matter of liking or not liking and, you know, I prefer this, prefer that. It's a matter of, it's a very, very serious matter which we will realize when we meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah save us from meeting Him with this level of ghaflat that we are engaged in. It's very important for us to leave this way of living and to live thoughtfully and not in thoughtfulness, not in thoughtlessness. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the ayat of Surah Al-Baqarah, الَّذِينَ يَأْكُلُونَ الرِّبَا لَا يَقُومُونَ إِلَّا كَمَا يَقُومُ الَّذِي يَتَخَبَّطُهُ الشَّيْطَانُ مِنَ الْمَسِ ذلك بأنهم قالوا إنما البيع مثل الربا وأحل الله البيع وحرم الربا فمن جاءه موعظة من ربه فانتهى فله ما سلف وأمره إلى الله ومن عاد فأولئك أصحاب النار هم فيها خالدون يمحق الله الربا ويربي الصدقات والله لا يحب كل كفار أثيم إن الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وأقاموا الصلاة وآتوا الزكاة لهم أجرهم عند ربهم ولا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وذروا ما بقي من الربا إن كنتم مؤمنين فإن لم تفعلوا فأذنوا بحرب من الله ورسوله وإن تبتم فلكم رؤوس أموالكم لا تظلمون ولا تظلمون. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, those who eat riba, which means interest in any form, will not stand on the day of resurrection except like the standing of a person beaten by shaitan, leading him to insanity. So Allah is saying the people who are dealing in riba are insane. And that is because they say, and what do they say? Al-bayu mithla riba. They say mithlu riba. They say trading is like riba. Trading is only like interest, whereas Allah has permitted trading and forbidden riba. This there is a detailed lecture of mine called Earn and Eat Halal, which Azhar will send you the link for this. Please listen to that. Many of you heard it live. We did this in this masjid during one of our Ramadan itikaf times. But listen to it again, where I have dealt with all of this subject in great detail. To me, this ayat, أَحَلَّ اللَّهُ الْبَيَا وَحَرَّمَ الْرِبَا, is such a beautiful example of the glory and magnificence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, people, there are people who say, who claim that riba interest is like business. Interest is like business. For example, to give you an example, supposing I have an apartment which costs 1 crore, 10 million, and I am giving this apartment on rent, and my rent is 1 million per year. So I'm getting a 10% return on this investment. So my rent is 1 lakh, is 10 lakhs, right? So apartment costs 1 crore, rent is 10 lakh. Now supposing I argue with you and say, that here is this apartment, I am giving it out on rent and I am getting 10 lakhs, 1 million. So what is the big problem if I give out that 1 crore instead of the apartment, if I give out that 1 crore amount as a loan to somebody and he gives me the same money? Same 10%. I am not asking for 1 cent more. So here is exactly the same transaction. Here is exactly the same amount. So why is one halal and why is one haram? Now the glory and majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu is, Allah did not go into explaining the financial intricacies of all this. Allah did not explain to us the whole problem with interest-based banking. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made a statement which reflects His glory and majesty. Allah said, أَحَلَّ الْبَيَا وَحَرَّمَ الْرِبَى. Effectively, Allah is saying, it is because I said so. Khalas. You got a problem with that? Meet me on the Day of Judgment. Simple. Allah has made baya, Allah has made trade halal, and Allah has made riba, interest-based banking, interest earning, haram. Why? Because I say so. Khalas. That's it. And to me, that is the best explanation. Because if we know who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, what other explanation do you want? Because I say so. Why? Because I said so. Why do you do salah? Because I said so. May Allah give us Ramadan in good health, inshallah, in a few days. Why are we fasting in Ramadan? Because I say so. Why suddenly everything which was halal for me, suddenly between this time and this time, this has become haram on me? Why? Because I say so. What more do you want? Now, if you are not a Muslim, then you still want some more explanation. Then before going to the explanation, we have to ask ourselves, am I a Muslim or not? Because if I am a Muslim, then I don't need any more explanation. Khalas. If I know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Jalla Jalalu, I know who Allah is, I worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah said, I say so, to me, I marvel in His majesty and glory. Simple. And I say, Alhamdulillah, labbaik, Allahumma labbaik. I am here, Ya Allah, I am here, I obey you. Sami'na wa ata'na ghufranaka rabbana wa ilayka al-masir. This is my position. If I am not a Muslim, meaning that in my heart, I may have a Muslim name, I may look like a Muslim, that doesn't make you a Muslim. Muslim is not it's not something which is external. Muslim is something which is internal. The external is a reflection of what is internal. So internally, if I have got some problems, then obviously I must sort out those problems first. Before I am called before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalla. Every day we hear reports of people being called to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalla. Please make dua for the maghfirat of one of our, the father of one of our musallis here. Feroz Kamal sahab, his son Yusuf Kamal is here. He passed away in Bhopal. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fill his qabr with noor. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless him and forgive all his sins. Also one of another very good friend and also is related to me, he passed away in America, Dr. Naim Siddiqui. Please make dua for him. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fill his qabr with noor. May Allah forgive his sins. May Allah enter him into Jannat al-Firdaws with ul aala bi ghairi hisab. Every day we hear reports of people meeting their Rabb Jalla Jalal. There are two kinds of meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One is when the slave meets Allah and he knows that what he believed was right. He's not surprised, he's not astonished. He meets Allah and he knows that what he believed was right. He knows what he did was right. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. I believed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. I believed that only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is my Rabb and I worshipped only Allah. I did not make any shirk. I meet Allah, I say Alhamdulillah, this was true. I believe my Rabb Jalla Jalaluhu is Ghafur Rahim and I meet him and he meets me with his rahmah. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. That is one kind of meeting. There is another kind of meeting where I spend my whole life denying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I spend my life either directly, openly disobeying or openly denying Allah, or I denied Allah in selective disobedience. When I was warned about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I chose to ignore that. When I was reminded of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's faraid, I chose to ignore them. And then all of that was because in my heart was doubt. In my heart there was denial. In my heart there was this feeling that really all of this is, you know, is pie in the sky stuff. I mean, this is all religion is the opiate of the masses. Huh? That's why I say read. Until when you open your eyes, actually when Malakul Maut comes there and you the curtain shifts and you see and you say, oh Allah, now what? Wajad Allah. Allah said they will find their Rabb there before him. Then what will you do?
Then what will happen? Every single thing I denied in my life comes true before my eyes. Now what? And Allah told us now what? وَلَوْ تَرَى إِذِ الْمُجْرِمُونَ نَاكِسُ رُؤُوسِهِمْ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ رَبَّنَا أَبْصَرْنَا وَسَمِعْنَا فَرْجِعْنَا نَعْمَلْ صَالِحًا إِنَّا مُقِنُونَ Allah said, when they, O my Nabi, if you could see them, when they will stand before me, and they will stand before the arsh of Allah, and they will see what they will see, and they will say, رَبَّنَا أَبْصَرْنَا O our Rabb, we have seen, وَسَمِعْنَا And we have heard, فَرْجِعْنَا نَعْمَلْ صَالِحًا إِنَّا مُقِنُونَ Send us back, and we will do good deeds, and we will become obedient. My brothers and sisters, it's a one-way street. It's a non-return valve. There is no turn back. The time to wake up is when? Now. Right now. Not even 1 second later. Not 10 seconds later. Right now. And those who do that, wallahi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewards. I was listening to one of my lectures in Kuwait about 7-8 years ago, and an incident which I mentioned that was related to Ramadan. This person in Melbourne, he was not an alim, he was not the imam or something, but he was one of the people who helped to build the masjid in Melbourne, and he used to do a lot of khidmat of the masjid. He was a doctor, he used to do a lot of khidmat of the masjid. So in Ramadan, one day he came for Salatul Fajr. He used to pray Salatul Fajr in the masjid every day. So that day in Ramadan he came for Salatul Fajr. And obviously he comes for Salatul Fajr, meaning that he is fasting. So he came for Salatul Fajr. The imam was a bit late on that day. So time for Fajr came. They told him, please lead Salah. So he started leading Salah. He read Suratul Fatiha. He read Suratul Rahman in the first rakat. And then Ruku Sujood, stood up Suratul Fatiha. He read Suratul, continued the recitation of Suratul Rahman. Went into Ruku, stood up, went into Sajda. And then when he got up from Sajda, he couldn't get up. So he said, Takbir Allahu Akbar. And he went back into Sujood and he passed away. In Salatul Fajr, in a state of fasting in Ramadan. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does for those who are true to Him. We ask Allah for a mouth like this for all of us, inshaAllah. But my brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, La tamutunna illa wa antum muslimun. This ayat we hear in every Jummah, in every khutbah, anywhere in the world. Do not die except in a state of Islam. I remind myself and you, it is not possible to die in a state of Islam if we are not living in a state of Islam. We cannot live in a state outside of Islam. We cannot live in a state of selective disobedience. And then we imagine that somehow 10 seconds before we are going to die, we will, you know, enter into Islam fully and make tawbah and istighfar and everything else. And then we will die. Who are we fooling? Who are we fooling? We either live in a state of Islam and die in a state of Islam, or we live in a state outside of Islam and we die in a state outside of Islam. There is no third way. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying in this Surah Al-Baqarah, the ayat relating to interest-based earnings, which are it is the most severe prohibition of anything that Allah has made in the Quran. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says, so whoever receives an admonition, which means whoever is warned and he obeys, and stops eating riba, stops eating interest, will not be punished for the past. His case is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to judge. But whoever returns to interest, such are the dwellers of the fire, and they will remain therein forever. Please go and read up the ayat. I'm not making this up. Right? It's there in the Quran. Go and read up the ayat from 275 onwards in Surah Al-Baqarah. And then Allah said, Allah will destroy riba, will destroy interest, and will give increase for sadaqat, which are all forms of good deeds, and Allah does not like disbelievers and sinners. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised Jahannam for people dealing in riba. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said He will destroy that in this world, which means that all of these businesses and whatnot which are built on riba are in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's hit list. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, truly those who believe and do right deeds of righteousness and establish a salah and give zakat, they will have the reward with their Rabb. On them shall be no fear and neither shall they grieve. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving a hukum. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, O you who believe, ittaqullah, have taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wadharu ma baqiya min ar-riba, and give up whatever remains due to you from interest-based earnings. From now onwards, in kuntum mu'minin. It's a conditional statement. Allah is saying, if you are believers, if you are mu'minin. So now, what am I saying if I don't get out of my interest-based earnings or my interest-based business or my interest-based whatever? What am I saying with respect to this ayat? It's not somebody else pronouncing something on you. It's your own action. By my action, what am I saying? Allah is saying, get out of riba if you are a Muslim. Get out of interest if you are a believer. I don't get out of interest. So what does it mean? What am I saying about myself? And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is the double whammy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and if you do not do that, then take a notice of war from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His messenger. Allahu Akbar. I tell people, you want to fight, pick someone your size, man. You want to fight with Allah? You want to fight with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? On the day when we will require the shafa'at of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, you want to face Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam as your enemy? On the day when we meet and we need the maghfirat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the forgiveness of Allah, you want to meet Allah as His enemy? Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajiun. When we want our names to be written in the list of adu Allah, the enemies of Allah, ada Allah, the enemies of Allah? Or do we want our names to be written in among the awliya Allah? The people who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loved the most. Which one? Believe me, Islam is the simplest religion in the world. No complexity, no complication, nothing. Very simple. Binary choice. Simple, very simple. You want your name in the list of the enemies of Allah? Most welcome. Please, put it there. But if you do not want your name there, and you say, no, I am not an enemy of Allah, alhamdulillah. Then what must I do? Write my name in the other list, which is the list of awliya. There's no middle list where this is neither here nor there. Either you are in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's camp or you are not in the camp. There is no way of being or having, you know, my left leg in the camp and the right leg outside. Or, you know, that doesn't exist. So I think it's a very important thing and very highly essential that we understand this and we do what we need to do. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and if you do that, then you can take back your capital sums and you will not be dealt with unjustly. Now there are four major signs in these ayat which I have already mentioned to you and which therefore I am not going to repeat here. All of this will be in the text and you can read them in the text at your leisure. Now I have tried to clarify this issue to the best of my ability. And I hope that it will enable those who are engaged in interest-based banking, interest-based dealings of any kind to get out of them urgently, remembering that none of us knows when the call to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will come. Please understand, interest refers to all forms of interest, not only lending money and getting a return. It refers to mortgages, it refers to buying cars on interest, all kinds. You have to make choices. And the choice is very simple. Where do I want my name? In the list of enemies of Allah or in the list of those who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will have mercy on? It's as simple as that. Money and economic activity are the mainstay of society. Without remunerative work, it is impossible for human beings to aspire to the pleasures of life. Even things we take for granted in the world would become unattainable if we didn't have the money to pay for them. Just as an example, water from the stream or river is free, but you pay for it to be piped to your house. You pay for it to be piped to a specific place in your house. You pay for it to be cooled and purified or heated for drinking or for any use you want. Sunlight is free, but not electricity. not solar electricity. Now, I can make an endless list of the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but I will leave you to do it, because what Allah has blessed you with will be unique to yourself. So, sit down and make this list of the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you and I enjoy every day, even though we do not obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the way we should. I want to show you how economic activity, earning opportunities, and the ability to earn enable us to enjoy these blessings. Islam shows us how all this can be done in a way that is beneficial to everyone and not at anyone's expense. Islam doesn't prevent us from making money. Islam is not socialism or communism in disguise. Islam is not trying to reduce everyone to the same lowest common denominator. It encourages increasing wealth, but not at the expense of others. It supports the wealthy, but not at the cost of the poor. It teaches them how to be truly wealthy by taking the poor along with them, by spreading their wealth in society, and thereby ensuring that they remain wealthy in the akhirah. It is this linking of everything we do in this life with its results on our life to come, the akhirah, that distinguishes Islam from anything else. This is the good news, the bonus, that I do something which is intrinsically good for me in this life, and it automatically earns rewards and benefits for me also in the akhirah. That's the beauty of Islam, that everything has a added benefit, a bonus that comes with it. You must get out of this interest-based banking immediately and create non-interest-based banking systems. We must support vocational skill training, entrepreneurship development, business incubators, venture capital funding, all built on the foundation of honesty, integrity, and compassion. I specifically want to speak to the ulama, to the muftiyin, to say that do not show people loopholes, because you will get stuck in your neck in that loophole yourself when you stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's ayat are so categorically clear, then nobody on the face of the earth has the right to show loopholes to someone to get out of this. It is because people have been showing loopholes that do not exist that we, to this day, we do not have a robust non-interest-based banking system. It's high time that people wake up, especially the ulama, especially people who know the Quran, especially people who know this deen, who must stand up and have some backbone and call haram haram and halal halal, and not show loopholes, and not bow to financial pressures, and not bow to their, and not become compliant to this donor or that donor. Forget your madrasa, forget your masjid, shut the masjid down. If your masjid is such that you cannot speak the truth in it, then it's not a masjid. Shut it down. If your madrasa is such that you cannot speak the truth in it, then shut down the madrasa. We don't need such masajid and madrasas. If you have more fear of a human being, whoever that human being is, than you have of Allah in your heart, then you have no business standing and making a khutbah. You have no business standing and giving a fatwa. Forget, do it. Don't do that. And as far as those who go fatwa shopping, exactly the same thing on the opposite side. Believe me, your mufti will not stand before you on the day of judgment. You will stand naked before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That fatwa which you bring and show people, that fatwa will not even be with you on the day of judgment. Forget all these fatwas. The Quran is above every single fatwa. What I recited for you is not my fatwa. I recited for you the ayat of the Quran. I gave you the reference from ayat in Surah Al-Baqarah 275 down to 279. Go read them. And then change your life. And if you do not change your life, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is witness. I have done my duty. I have told you what I had to tell you in as clear terms as possible, without any ambiguity, without trying to be nice, because there is nothing nice about being an enemy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So please, my brothers and sisters, wake up before Malakul Maut comes to wake you up and wake me up. Islam teaches the wealthy to partner with the poor, to bring ideas, effort, energy and capital together. Take the right, we have examples of this all over the world. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us to see them and to practice this beautiful deen in our lives, and not to live and continue to live our lives as if we have some form of eternal life, and that as if we will not die. We will die whether we agree with it or whether we like it or not. We will die whether we accept it or not, and then we will stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.